And now Hugh will come and give us the Bible reading. Thank you, Hugh.
The Bible reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 11, and we're reading verses 1 to 44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our brother Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. Amen.
So good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's so lovely. Am I a bit loud? I feel I sound a bit loud. Okay. I'm all right. Okay. Okay. So it's great to be back here with you this morning as we worship together and look at God's holy word. We stand on holy ground. And this is a beautiful, beautiful passage that contains so, so much. So this group, this family, the two sisters, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, they were friends of Jesus. Now, Jesus had his disciples, but I think it's wonderful to know that Jesus had friends. And he stayed at Martha and Mary and Lazarus's home many times. And this friendship had grown and had blossomed, and it had enabled Jesus's ministry in many, many ways. And we know from the scriptures it says that Jesus loved this family. He loved the sisters and he loved Lazarus. So let's just have a little look at this unit for a minute, just to help us understand what's going on here a little bit. So Bethany, the place that it was, we know it was 2 miles from Jerusalem. It isn't anymore, because in the middle you have West Bank, and you'd have a job to get to it today. In fact, you would never get to it. So it's separated, it's part of Palestine now. And so Bethany is the name for poor. And so this was a poor place, a poor village. That's how it got its name. And these sisters and Lazarus were very unconventional. So let me explain a little bit. So these sisters, we know at the moment, aren't married, because if they were, we would have been told. And it's probable that Martha and Mary's husbands had died. It is unlikely they wouldn't have been married, because when you got to five, they didn't do any matching of people before five, because 3 out of 5 children died before their 5th birthday. So there was no point. And so you started to do the matching when you got to 5. When you got to 12, you would be betrothed. So the chances that these women had not been married is very slim. And even if they hadn't been married, it's still not the custom of the day. So it's very unorthodox. And also there's no mention of children at all with either of these women. Now, under Jewish, the understanding of the Jewish law at that time, and they take this from Deuteronomy 28, where it says that if you are faithful, the Lord will prosper and bless you. So the fact that these women do not have husbands, the fact that these women do not have children, particularly boys, mean that they are not faithful people. Mean that they are outside of faithfulness of what was expected at that time. And Lazarus, he isn't married. We've got no mention of his wife, no mention of children. And again, whether his wife died, whether he didn't have any children, or some of them died, we don't know. But what we do know is that they would have been seen as a very unorthodox family living outside of faith and not being blessed by God. They did not come up to the mark. And yet Jesus befriended this family. And this family that did not come up to the mark met Jesus' needs. And he hears, because they send word to Jesus, that Lazarus is very poorly and has died. And the word gets to Jesus. It's only 2 miles away. Well, it was then. So 2 miles away, probably, I don't know, conservatively, a couple of hours to get the message to Jesus. And very interestingly, Jesus decides to stay where he is in Jerusalem for another 2 days. He doesn't go dashing off to go to Bethany. He stays where he is for another 2 days. And I think we need to just question that a little bit. And I think it's very interesting that Jesus is never late. Jesus is never late. Always shows up. And his timing is perfect. And I think for leaders particularly in this age of popularism, that you can be pushed and shoved to other people's agendas. It's really important you know what the agenda is, you know what the path is and how to get there. Do not be pushed about or moved in a place where you don't need to be. And so Jesus wasn't pushed or shoved or moved or manipulated. He stayed where he was. And then he went to Jerusalem. Now the disciples, they weren't very quick on the uptake most of the time, and this is no exception in this passage. And so he said to them, they thought he was asleep, and he had to point out to them, I love this little bit, plainly, had to point out to them plainly that he was stone cold dead. And this wasn't the first time, of course, that these disciples had seen people being raised to life. There is differences, but it's not the first time. So there's been 2 other occasions. So you had Jairus's daughter. I spoke about that last year when I was here. And then you had the widow's son in Mark chapter 7. Now, they had been dead a couple of hours. Lazarus has been dead many days, 4 days. And so he gets on, comes to Bethany, and Martha meets him and says to him, Lord, if you had been here, if you had got your act together and had got here in time, my brother would not be dead. What do you think you're doing? 2 miles away you were. You could have come in 2 hours. We're not told the whole conversation. I'm paraphrasing a bit. And then he doesn't really reply to that. He asks her to go and get Mary. So Mary comes, and Mary says exactly the same thing. Where do you think you've been? 2 hours away you were. You could have come, and if you'd been here, he wouldn't have been dead. I love that. Because it shows us about honesty and truth and accountability. Accountability is very important for Christians. It's very important for our development in faith, and it's very important for those people who hold any position of leadership. Accountability to one another. And Jesus was accountable to these women and to Lazarus. And therefore, they were able to have an honest dialect with him, really. And I suggest that we often aren't as honest as we ought to be. And we come to church, don't we, with our lovely church face up. Everything is fine for me. We're all right. My children are doing marvelously. And we're all, brilliant. My health is fantastic. And everything is fine and rosy in my garden. Are you okay? Oh, yes, I'm fine. And we put on that church face. And there are many things that aren't fine in our lives. We just like to think they are. And so we need to recognize the honesty that we see here. Now, you might not want to be honest with the people here. I don't know why you wouldn't, but you might not want to be. But you can be honest with Jesus. And you can tell Jesus what you think, because he already knows what you think anyway. So you're only telling him what he already knows. It ain't a secret to him. So you might as well tell him the truth, had you not? And that's what these two sisters did. Where the heck were you? And then he goes to the tomb. Where have you laid him? And they show him where this tomb is. And he goes, oh, well, okay. We're going to roll away this stone. Now, I always get a bit confused about this. Why would you roll away a stone from this old tomb when you know what you're about to do? I don't know. Anyway, one thing I'll ask him when I get there, I guess, amongst all the other questions. And so he gets this stone rolled away. Now, this is not some sort of little rock. This is huge. So it would have taken a bit of a time to get people to move this old rock. And the reason it was huge and it was big, because it protected everybody from the stink. As it is. And so Martha says to him, hang on a minute. Hang on. She says, he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. And if you'd got here before, we could have sorted this out, but you weren't. Just to remind you, he's been dead 4 days. And so Jesus ignores that. I love the fact that he does that. And the stone rolls away, and he calls out Lazarus. Now, the reason he has to call Lazarus by name is because if he said, come out, all the other people buried in that tomb would be coming out as well. So you'd have people who'd been dead for ages all walking about all over the place. And so he had to use Lazarus by name and say, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. And he says, unbind him. And the girl, I can't imagine what Mary and Martha must have been like too there. So let's just recap a little bit. So there is the shortest verse in the whole of Scripture here. You would probably know it very well, in that Jesus weeps. Again, it's a bit odd. Why is Jesus weeping when he knows what he's about to do? Which means that he doesn't need to weep because he's bringing his friend back to life. He weeps to identify with those who are sad. There's a verse in Scripture that says, weep with those that weep. And there's a lot of truth in that. Because we identify with one another and we enable one another. So what Jesus was doing was recognizing the grief of the people around him, and he was weeping. Now, when the Jewish people weep when somebody has died, let me tell you, it's not a few tears and a bit of a Kleenex. It is absolutely sobbing and howling. You've never heard anything like it. If there's ever been you wouldn't, as women, you may not go to Jewish funerals, but they used to hire wailers and weepers if you were wealthy. You wouldn't in Bethany, because remember, it's a poor place. And so Mary was going to the tomb herself to weep. They haven't got the money to pay for people to go and do that for them. And so there would be a heck of a kerfuffle and noise. And I quite like that. I think sometimes we're a bit too polite. I think sobbing can be very cathartic. Is that the word? I think it can be very releasing. And what Jesus was doing was identifying with these people who were brokenhearted. Because I believe that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were the catalyst for the Christians in Bethany. They're the leadership. They're the people that held it all together. I've got a verse here, again, which I think is important just to mention, which, again, very unconventional. So it says, as Jesus and his disciples, this is Luke 10, and it's verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to them. Women didn't have homes to open. So Martha was very unconventional in that she must have had means. And the home that we're talking about is Martha's home, not Lazarus's home. The home that she had somehow got this home, which is very unconventional for that particular time. There'd be no other woman probably in Jerusalem, never mind Bethany, that had their own home. But Martha did. And so, what does this story help us to see? How does this help us in our faith journey? Well, I think it helps us with the resurrection. It helps us in that resurrectional story that death has no hold on us. And it's Martha and Mary that recognize that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And it's really important in this particular story that we hold on to that hope of the resurrection in our own lives. But not only in the time when we die, but the time when we live today, that we live in resurrectional hope. And even though there's so much wrong, you only need to put the telly on for 20 seconds to know that there's so much wrong, we don't need to be frightened. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be pushed from pillar to post. We don't need to be manipulated by it. We stand firm, knowing that Christ has a plan. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he is never late. And with this stone that was rolled away, there are many, many stones in our own lives that probably need rolling away. The stone of unforgiveness needs rolling away. The stone of perhaps being insecure, oh, well, I can't really do that. Everybody's better than me, and if I, you know, roll it away. You are unique and special. Roll it away. There's only ever one of you, and you are brilliant. To roll that away. There might be the stone of unforgiveness, stone of guilt. Roll it away and live in that resurrectional hope that we are given. And also there might be the stone of our own circumstances. So for instance, there may be things that are happening to you now that you cannot control. There may be things that are frightening, that you cannot control. You don't need to. God has complete control, and he's never late. So you don't need to. And there is a great big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is something that happens and it goes. Joy is something that lives within us. And that is the joy of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, having that resurrectional hope within us, regardless of the things that are going on in our lives, regardless. Because we know that the Lord has a plan and he will not let you down. And even though he has not shown up and he may not have answered your prayers as you see it, he is never late. He will always answer every prayer. May not be what you want to hear, and it may not be the answer you want, but it will always be answered. There is no doubt in my mind about that. In the 67 years I have been on this planet, there is not a prayer I've prayed that has not been answered. Ever. Sometimes I don't like it, but it's never not been answered. Jesus has never, ever been late. He's always been there and always enabled me through some of the most difficult circumstances and challenges of my entire life. And I don't know how people manage without him. I know that many people say, oh, well, being a Christian, you know, you've got a crutch. Well, I tell you what, I'm quite happy to have a crutch of Jesus. I ain't bothered. I'm not throwing it away anytime soon. I need it because without it, I would be nothing. And I don't stand here before you today because I'm some marvelous person, because I'm not. I don't stand here because I've achieved great things. I haven't. I stand here because I'm a failed human being in need of God's love, and forgiveness for the times I have messed up and for the times that I will mess up. But we roll those stones away and we let the Lord loosen those bounds that hold us and we live our lives to the full. We live today to the full because we do not know what this afternoon will bring. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. And none of us knows whether we will be here next Sunday morning or worshipping the Lord face to face. And so we live in that resurrectional hope and joy. And we look at those two women, unconventional, outside of the normal faithful community that the Jewish order would and still would expect. They were not faithful as far as they were concerned. God chose them to be his friends, his confidant, the people he would pray with him and eat with him. The people he loved had not come up to the mark.
Well, thank you so much, Fiona. You've brought that message to our hearts. You've helped us really think through that death does not have a hold on us, that we don't need to be frightened today, that today Christ has a plan. And you've talked of that stone of unforgiveness that needs to be rolled away, the stone of our own circumstances, that stone that sometimes we cannot control. God has control, and that lovely message that God is never late. Sometimes things happen in life that we think shouldn't happen, but God has our plan. We live, don't we, in that resurrectional power. Jesus is never late. We are unique and special. We are failed human beings in need of forgiveness. But that lovely challenge that Fiona said, that we should live our lives to the full because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. So final prayer. We thank you for the reminder that no situation is beyond your reach, Lord. Just as you called Lazarus from the tomb, call us out of the places where we fear, where we doubt, or despair. Help us to trust your timing, even when the waiting feels long. Breathe new life into our hearts, our relationships, our dreams. May we walk forward in faith, unbound and free, to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And a final blessing from those lovely words in Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace.